Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 18, please? God's not dead, amen? He's surely alive. Sometimes people act like God is dead, like he doesn't exist, like he doesn't know. How dumb can we be and still breathe? Amen? You know, one of the things that the Lord always does is he brings us to that place of surrender and submission. Where there's no surrender, there is no submission. Where there's no submission, there's no surrender. Submission and surrender. Surrender and submission. See, you can't submit unless you surrender. And in this area, because the Lord is trying to bring us to always another level. He always wants to bring us to another place with more victory and more expansion. He wants to get us to a place where fear is null and void in our life. Lust is null and void. Worldliness is null and void. Pride is null and void. All of these things, because those are not the character of Christ. Amen? They're not the character of Christ. And he's always trying to get us to that place where he begins to expose things on our life so that exchanges can be made so the character of Christ can be manifested. Where there is no surrender, there is no submission. So the opposite of surrender, we know, is associated with survival. And the opposite of submission is called pride. Pride. When a person is in a survival mode, they are in a pride mode. Because what they're doing is they're fighting for themselves. And one of the things the Lord tries to do in our life is always expose things so that we can become free of these things and walk in an area of freedom. Freedom is the greatest thing that you and I want to maintain. But it's amazing on how many times people go back to their vomit. They go back to the areas and touch those things again. They go back to the areas and try to pet them again, thinking that it's okay, thinking that they made it. Let me tell you something. When you think you made it, you have fallen. Nobody has made it. If you think that you're strong enough to do something, you better be careful, because you must think yourself in the area that you can do nothing. Only through Christ can you succeed. When you think that you're strong enough, when that voice comes to you and says, I'm strong enough to handle this, you have fallen. Does everybody understand that? You never fall into physical until you fall into spiritual. And what did you fall to? You fell to pride. Nobody's made it. Everyone's vulnerable. Every single person. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care if you cast out devils your whole life. I don't care if you raise 100 people from the dead. The moment you think you can handle something more without Christ is the moment you fell spiritually. Does everybody understand? Why? Because the Lord is trying to get us to a place of complete surrender, complete submission, where power is released. Power does not get released to us until those two things are constant. Everybody wants the anointing, but unless there's surrender and submission, it's not released, because he can't trust someone that is in survival and pride, and you will not be able to overcome. Is everybody okay? Jeremiah 18. Is everybody there? Verse 1, let's speak it. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to what? Hear my words. In other words, I will put my purpose in you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. The wheel is associated with the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he'd made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he did what? He did what? He made it again. That's called glory to glory. He made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Let me tell you, God always puts you in a place where you've reached a certain level, and then he crushes you. And so many people jump off the wheel during the crushing. Why? Because he's trying to remove more of the worldly character to bring more of the Christ character. And he remolds you again. Sometimes it feels like we're starting all over again. And let me tell you, some areas where if you keep going back to the same old thing, you keep getting crushed, but you never grow. You never advance. That's all you're doing is being crushed. He molds you, he crushes you again. He molds you, he crushes you again. He molds you. You never advance. He cannot advance someone he cannot trust. In verse 5, then a word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay as is in a potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of true ministries. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent from concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. In other words, we will not go any further. Is everybody okay? The potter. In other words, listen, the purpose of certain things, even afflictions and disasters in our life, is the purpose is to bring us to another level. Even when we open the doors of stupidity, God is always trying to bring us to another level. Why? He hopes that you learn from it. He hopes that we always learn from those things. But again, if we don't get it the first time, we don't advance until we get it. And let me tell you, if you get it and you advance and you go back to the thing that you didn't get before, you go right back to where it started from. And you have to go back again and again and again and again. And people wonder why it takes so stinking long to be trusted by God. Because they went back to the thing that caused them to fall in the beginning. And everything that you've gained in every level is lost. And then I hear people go, well, I want to get back to where I was. You can't. There's no such thing of going back to where you were. It's either advancing or not. Now you will go back to that place to where you fell and have to advance each one. So many times people say, well, man, I remember when it was this way. That's how my walk was. Well, look, at your walk wasn't good enough or you wouldn't have been in that condition anyways. Amen? So we see that we are in the potter's hand. He is the potter and we are the clay and he molds us. And what he's asking us to do is to return to him with surrender and submission. That's what he's asking. In Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 1. What does it say? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a what? Refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they did not fear me, says the Lord. Because they did not what? Fear him, reverence him, honor him. In other words, listen, everybody calls for fire. Lord, I want your fire. The problem is they don't realize what the after effects of the fire are. So when God starts burning the stuff, when he starts exposing the stuff, we have a tendency to say, no more. Or we grumble and complain and whatever. And God is trying to expose your enemy. He's trying to expose our shortcomings. He's trying to expose our faults. He's trying to expose our strongholds. He's trying to expose our emotional attachments. He's trying to expose those things that cause us from going any further. Burning it out of us. Severing those things. In Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. In other words, that is something specific. Buying gold, that means that there is a price to pay. Buy gold. Something that's refined from the Lord is making the exchange. So we want to take something that's refined and purified from him and give him that which is not refined and purified in us and give him that so that we take what he has. But there is a price for that. And I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, in white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And what's he want you to see? He wants us to see the things that we're hiding. He wants us to see these things that we compromise with, we justify with, that we hide. And not even realize we hide, that we think, oh, I'm okay. He wants us to see everything, because see, there isn't anything he doesn't miss. Not one thing. He wants to know if you're going to maintain the vow you said. He wants to know whether you're faithful. He searches us out to see if he's number one in our life. That's what he searches out. He wants to know who our His. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he will be with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And if we're not willing to hear, then our heart is hardened, we're not in a surrender mode or a submission mode. We're in a rebellious mode. Ezekiel 28. One of the things I always know that the Lord checks is if we're half-stepping or willing to go the extra mile. Are we willing to go the extra mile? I'll never forget when he tested me on that, man. Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing to go the extra mile? He tests us to see if we're willing to go the extra mile. Always. Why? Because if we're not willing to go the extra mile, either does he. Has everybody got it? If we're not willing to go the extra mile, either does he. In Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Sounds wonderful. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The stones were the coverings. Does everybody get this? He's talking about Lucifer. The stones were his coverings. But one thing God wants you to do is be one of his jewels. Lucifer couldn't be his jewel. He could only be covered with them. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers the universe with praise and worship. I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, he saw the earth being created. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. In other words, rebellion. Rebellion was found in you. Listen, one of the things the Lord wants us to do is be his jewels. You know, in the physical world, in the area of business, there are places called diamonds. Diamonds. Well, God wants me and you to be a spiritual diamond, because you can't be a physical diamond until you're a spiritual diamond. Amen? That's a place of success and victory. Here, again, Lucifer was covered with precious jewels, but he could never become one. That was left for me and you. What is a diamond? It's a Greek word. It means unconquerable. Invincible. That's what a diamond is. God wants us to be spiritual diamonds. I don't know if you know this or not, but a diamond is the hardest natural substance on earth. It is the greatest conductor of heat, 4,090 degrees Celsius. In other words, it sustains the heat 2.5 times greater than steel. It is the rarest and costliest of all gemstones. This is what he wants me and you to be. It is formed by the softest material of all minerals. It's called a carbon. It actually comes from coal. In fact, the pencils you write with, the lead, is what a diamond comes from. The forces of heat and pressure transform this carbon into a diamond. It takes heat and pressure. So this coal, this soft material called coal, after many years of heat and pressure, turns into a diamond, the hardest material, natural material on the earth. In fact, only a diamond can cut a diamond. It's 40 times harder than any ruby or sapphire or any other gem. In the calculations of the value of a diamond, it has four C's, it's called. The C's, it's the cut of the diamond, the color of the diamond, and the more valuable the diamond is, the less color it has. It looks for no color in it, because when light shines through it, it produces color. It is known as a light expander. Hello? So there's cut, color, clarity, and carat. Those are the four C's that is associated with a physical diamond. In Malachi chapter 3, spiritual diamonds, yes. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 16. Let's read it together, 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my what? Jewels, or my what? Diamonds. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him but serves self. There may be four C's of the world, of the carnal, of the physical diamond, but there are seven C's of the spiritual diamond, because these are diamonds of Jesus. The first C is conviction. Conviction. Why? That means to depart from evil because of the fear of the Lord. Where there is no conviction and departing, there is no fear of the Lord. The second one is conversion. That means in this conversion, you're willing to make a change for the better. Conversion. Willing to make a change for the better. The next one is commitment. Unwavering. Steadfast. You are unwavering. This is the third one. Commitment is unwavering. In other words, you don't change, man. Consistency is the area where we maintain a position, not willing to change course unless directed by the Spirit. We are consistent, not willing to change position, but maintain position. Consistent in all things. The fifth one is clarity. That means in clarity, we are transparent. We are able to see and discern. Clarity, transparent, able to see and discern. The next one is communion. In other words, that's your relationship in the Spirit where God is first. And the next one is, the seventh one is credibility, where you are tested and tried as an overcomer of temptation, where the character of Christ, where you become a spiritual diamond for Jesus. I'm going to throw one more in there, because eight means new beginning. Are you ready? It's called courage. That's where a person perseveres and endures, stirs himself up to grab hold of God. He perseveres and endures and stirs himself up. That's eight, new beginning. Spiritual diamonds. Colossians chapter 1. How many of y'all want to be a spiritual diamond? Well, now you got eight C's. Yes. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? See, what will happen also is the Lord will set a new shift to prepare us for a new season. And in the season, he's trying to get us to another level. Every level is associated with another season. And in that, if we haven't accomplished what was required from him to enter that new season, we miss it. We miss it. And we have to wait for it to come around. In verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom in what? Spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, let me tell you something. You're not advancing if you're not increasing in the knowledge of him. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has what? Delivered us from the power of darkness. But let me share something. He may have delivered us from the power of darkness, but he's not delivered us from the presence of darkness. I'm going to say that again. You may be delivered from the power of darkness, but you're not delivered from the presence of darkness. That's where the devil tempts you again to come back under his power of darkness. Amen? It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Again, we are delivered from the power of darkness, but not from the presence of darkness that tempts us back under its power again. This is where individuals are not making what's unseen seen. They think it's them. No comprehendo of what's influencing them. Duh. Let me go back to where I started again. That's not dead, man. That's not dead. Let me just touch this. I got the power over this unclean thing. Yeah, I can do this. Unsubmissive, unsurrendered, not found faithful. Proverbs 27. Spiritual diamonds. There's a price to pay. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Proverbs 27? Good. Said the right thing. Hallelujah. One of the things he's trying to do again is to repent, turn from those areas, get back in the position, get refocused, get him first, quit justifying, compromising, reasoning, excusing, and become his diamond so that you become an expander of his light and a character of his witness. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, would you read it with me? As what? Iron sharpens iron, yes. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be what? Honored. As in the water, face reflects what? So a man's heart reveals the man. So a man's heart what? Reveals the man. Listen, your heart is the character of your spirit. And that's where your conduct, your choices, your decisions are made. If your heart's not right, if it's not broke before God, if there's not a humble area, you will always manifest the flesh. You will look for some fulfillment. You will not be submissive. You'll be in surrender. I mean, you won't be in surrender mode, and you won't be submissive. You'll be a stubborn brat, rebellious, not fearing God. We're to be known as God-fearing men and women. Does everybody get that? God-fearing men and women to be diamonds. Not man-fearing. God-fearing. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. You know, when you rub iron against iron, you know, it produces sparks and heat. Yes. Diamonds are being manifested. They're being manufactured. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Come out from among them. Don't touch those things that are unclean. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Is everybody there? But we have this what? Read it with me. This treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Does everybody understand that scripture, that verse? That it might not be our power, which is a person is non-submissive, but in survival mode. Survival mode will produce rebellion. It produces pride. But we have this earth and this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, so we become spiritual diamonds. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. Flesh, hard pressed. Psalm 34. How many of you know sometimes God puts you in a hard pressed circumstance? Yes, He's gone. He's going to allow it to happen. Why? To turn you into a diamond. Amen? Psalm 34, verse 19. Let's start at 17. Psalm 34, verse 17. If we'll speak it together, please. The righteous cry out, and the Lord what? He hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a what? Have a what? A contrite spirit. That's humble, submissive, surrender and submissive. Surrender and submissive state of being. Verse 19, what does it say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Well, if you haven't been delivered out of the affliction, it's because there's still pride there. Maybe you think you know it all. Maybe this message you think isn't for you. Then you better slap yourself and wake up, because it's for each and every one of us in this room. Many are the afflictions that are righteous. Believe me, we all go through. Those afflictions also are allowed for me and you to be hard-pressed. God wants to know what you're going to do with it. Are you going to humble yourself? Are you going to surrender and submit? Are you going to battle for his presence? Or are you going to quit? and fall back into the world, compromise, become complacent, become lazy, inconsistent, walk away from the eight C's so that you don't get a new beginning and stay in that same old rut. Terrible place to be. It says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 6. Let's speak it, please. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the what? Genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by what? Fire. May be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. James chapter 1. Genuineness. He's looking for individuals that are genuine, true, pure, not fakers. Not pretenders. There's a lot of public pretenders in the attorney field. They call them public pretenders because they don't know squat. They're looking for a quick fix to get out of it so they don't have to deal with it. And people go to jail, prison for stupid stuff, not represented right. But I'll tell you, if a person is walking right with God, he's represented by heaven. But if he's not walking right by God, that person is a loose goose, and the enemy is about to take him out. And if you think God will promote someone from walking away from prison, if he's not right with God, you got to be plumb nuts. He knows if you can't do it out here, you're better off in prison. Seen it. James chapter 1, verse 2. Would you speak it with me? My brethren, count it what? All joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience, endurance, have its perfect what? Work. That you may be what? Perfect, a perfect diamond. And complete, lacking what? Nothing. You are not in lack of anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. So you're going to be known as one who is stable or unstable. You'll either be a diamond for Jesus or a coal from Sodom and Gomorrah, one or the other. In verse 14, what does it say? But verse 12, I'm sorry. Would you read it? Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, we are delivered from the power of darkness, but not from the presence of darkness. Let me tell you, the way you overcome the presence of darkness is to maintain to be a diamond. Philippians 3, 8 C's. See, the world requires 4. God requires 8. Philippians chapter 3. See, when you become a diamond, you're unmovable. You are stable. You count all things joy. Even when you make a mistake, you don't stay there. And one of the things that begins to happen is you go forward, forgetting those things of the past. You don't live in the past no more. You live from the future. In verse 7, would you read it with me? But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for what? Is anybody there? Or are you going to read it with me? Praise God. Let's hear you. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on that I may lay hold of that for which the Lord Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I what? Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, a diamond doesn't look back anymore. Doesn't matter. Goes forward. And I want to close at Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Diamonds have access to the throne room of God all the time. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he what? He honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. It sounds like all of this is the eight C's. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take up a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Never be moved. Never be moved. Again, the eight C's are conviction, conversion, commitment, consistency, clarity, communion, credibility, and courage. Expanders of light. Yes. Diamonds. Spiritual diamonds are the jewels of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. How many of y'all want to be a spiritual diamond? Amen. Praise God. If you didn't raise your hand, he knows. Father, we want to be spiritual diamonds, Lord, because we want to be the example, the expression, and the character of your Son. So Holy Spirit, take hold of each and every one of us here tonight and let the eight C's be imparted in each and every one of us, that we may turn from the ways of the world and the wickedness and evil and the unclean things and turn towards you, that we may be transparent in every area of our life, willing to repent, turn, and trust you. Lord, I pray for each and every one here and all of our listeners and anyone watching tonight. And I pray, Lord, that they have a desire and maintain that desire to become a spiritual diamond for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.